This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A full house of state finalists.
It's pretty good. The Gillespie Indians in our studio with head coach Christina Blevins, also Kevin Gray, the eighth grade head coach and varsity head coach. Christina, of course, the varsity assistant, and the continuity of the Gillespie program alive and well. And congratulations, Christina, on your state runner-up finish.
Thank you.
Has it set in yet that you've done this?
I guess a little bit. We had the celebration rally yesterday, and just kind of seeing everybody out there. And after I got home Thursday night and kind of sat down and reflected on everything, I think it really sunk in what we had done.
You got to spend a lot of time at the pit, the high school gym, obviously. What was it like to see these girls out there being recognized by everyone?
It was really neat. We had a pretty good crowd. They allowed the high school kids to come. Middle school kids were all there, and it was just a lot of fun, and the girls did a great job, and Miss Rosentreter and the administration did a great job recognizing them and, their accomplishments.
And Terry, you mentioned on the championship broadcast Thursday night, you know you've done something good when they're letting everybody out of school to come see you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, anytime you can convince people that whatever you've accomplished is overrides the normal classroom activities, that's a cool thing to have happen, and that's exactly what should happen. When you get an opportunity to compete at a high level like this, it's just something that a lot of student athletes do not get an opportunity to do.
And we should say welcome back, Terry Toth, to the sports show.
Oh,
by
yeah.
the way,
thank you.
Good to be back.
I'll be back full time on the air on Wednesday. So
very good.
Yeah,
very good. Kevin Gray, I remember talking to you when you first took over the high school job, and you were talking about all the years you had spent in the lower levels. And the key to any successful high school program is the lower levels. Just talk about the growth you've seen from the early stages of the lower levels to now.
Yeah, I was sort of looking at what some of the other communities were doing and being successful, and I knew that we had to get recommitted in getting that program started and getting participation. And I'm still in charge of it. It's very time consuming, but I know that the results are starting to pay off. Our boys program, of course, the seventh graders won the state tournament last year, so they were part of that. And this year now our seventh grade girls brought home a second place trophy. It all depends on the class. Small schools are difficult to continuously roll out the numbers. You can get enough athletes out early. You're always going to lose some. I think you lose more girls than you do lose boys in the long run, because there's other things going on once they reach the high school level. But it all starts with the lower levels, and then it's getting such where it's earlier and earlier and earlier. The team we played at the state tournament, those girls play second, they start playing in second and third grade,
Well, that point guard's ready for varsity, right?
Yeah, she can play in a lot of varsity teams, but it also there's some things that, because of lack of gym time, a lot of the youth groups are really playing too many games and not enough practices. And you really can't get a testimony of what potential quality is until you can get them into a gym a lot. And this group here, Tim, when I saw them as fourth graders, there's a lot of kids. And you sort of sense that, they had a lot of potential, but you really couldn't determine who was going to develop. And I remember them getting beat when they were playing fifth grade by teams by some pretty good numbers. And but I looked at them and thought, man, I think there is a lot of foot skills. They caught the ball well, that they had a lot of upside. And it wasn't really till we could get them into the gym as sixth graders on a daily basis where you could really see the potential start to develop.
Talk a little bit about Christina. She's been with you now for a number of years, and talk about her evolution as a coach here.
She's very basketball IQ'd. I have to show her. I'm always pushing the opening an envelope and trying a lot of different things. And she's she's been very patient with me. I'm always trying to reinvent the game of basketball, but I don't. You know, it really comes down to simple, fundamentals and understanding what qualities and talents that you have with your individual kids and how to make them play a team-oriented game. She has really grown. She sees something once, maybe twice, and she grasps it, and she takes off, and we can go. And that's a very special skill that she has.
And Christina, for you, as sometimes, when you're a junior high coach and a JV coach, maybe you don't get a lot of recognition, people don't recognize, you're putting in just as much, if not more time, than the varsity head coach.
Well, I'm there. we're in the gym a lot, and Kevin and I spent a lot of time together between September and February, end of February. And but really, I have to say I got fortunate enough that I was able to be the one that, got the medal and got the trophy with these girls. But there's been a lot of other people that have put a lot of time and work with these girls, and so I can't take all the credit for them. And in fact, Coach Gray practiced with them for most of the season because of our numbers, and their ability to practice with the eighth graders. So, I just get fortunate enough that I get the recognition, I guess.
It's always nice to get the recognition. And Christina, we were talking before the championship game on Thursday. You guys came in with two losses, but in reality, the group of girls were undefeated in the seventh grade season.
Yeah, the group of six girls that started for us at most times during the year, they actually played up in the Jerseyville tournament with the eighth graders, which went undefeated in that tournament. And then my sixth and seventh graders played that tournament and lost, two tough games to a tough 4A Jerseyville, and then a real close game with St. Francis Holy Ghost that, it ended up giving us second in that tournament. But those girls, the sixth and seventh graders, really stepped up and played a great tournament. And that's when we really saw a turn in that group of girls as well. And they came away with second. And this group, the group of six girls that's here with us today, were actually undefeated on the season until the state championship.
And I would think when you have a group of seventh grade girls that plays up at the eighth grade level, has success. I mean, that confidence wise, obviously you're only growing from that.
Absolutely. And that's what I said yesterday at our assembly. This group of girls last year actually went 6-16 as sixth graders playing seventh grade. They played almost the entire seventh grade season last year as sixth graders because our seventh graders last year played up with the eighth graders. And so to see that turn, the experience that they got and then the experience that they got playing eighth grade this year is going to be, we can't imagine how that's going to help them.
And playing in front of a packed house like that on a high school floor, that had to be a thrill.
I can't speak for them, but I would absolutely think so. And Kevin and I talked about after, we got home and said the experience that they got and the big game experience is only going to, help them in the future with playing in those big games. And we even talked about really, even at the high school level, we're not sure unless you really go deep in the postseason or maybe a Macoupin County championship game. If you got, two teams that bring a big crowd, you might have a crowd that size, but it could be a potential that could be the biggest crowd that they play in front of for a long time.
Took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say, you'll go to a lot of high school varsity games and not see that type of atmosphere. It was awesome on Thursday night. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're so happy to have the state runner-up Gillespie Indians in our studio. When we come back, we're going to talk to the ladies themselves here on WSMI Sports Saturday.
Well, back to WSMI's Tim Mize and the future Miners, the current Indians. The runners-up in the IESA Class 3A State Basketball Tournament. Tim?
And Terry, I can tell that with this group of young ladies, there was never a dull bus ride.
No.
For a road trip this year.
Yeah, they seem to have a great great bit of chemistry, don't they?
They really do. They seem to have a really good time with each other. We're going to talk to the ladies themselves. And who's up first?
Hi, I'm Hannah Barrett.
Hannah Barrett, nice to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You spent a lot of time with the ball in your hands.
Yeah.
Talk about what that's like.
It was kind of nerve-wracking during the last games, but during the first games, felt pretty good to have the ball in my hands and to be able to control what we were doing.
What was it like playing in front of that many people?
Like really hard.
Now, were you sitting there like during the third place game and you're watching the gym fill up like, oh my goodness, they're all here to watch us?
Yeah, it was really like it was I got nervous, and I wasn't nervous on the bus ride there, and I couldn't tell anybody was nervous, and then we got there and everybody kept filling up the gym, and it just made us nervous.
But is it possible that once the game started, that was all blocked out?
Maybe just a little bit from a little some kids, but some of us were more nervous.
It happens.
It's
a natural thing. Now, in a normal game, because this wasn't a normal game, mm-hmm. It was a state championship game. Do you normally get nervous before you play?
No, it's just our hometown. If it's like somewhere near our hometown, we don't ever get nervous. We play our game and we stay that way.
Awesome, Hannah Barrett. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who's up next?
I'm Keaton Link.
Keaton, congratulations.
Thank you.
So what was it like whenever, after the game was over, even though you had lost, I could tell there was lots of smiles, lots of hugs down there because you still accomplished a great thing. What was it like when they put that medal around your neck?
I was very proud of my team and myself for doing a great job. I thought we did a really good job, and I can't believe we got this far. And seeing all those people come in, it felt really good because they came to support us and watch us play.
And I mean, it was a packed house, but three quarters, Terry, at least, of that gymnasium was Gillespie fans.
Well, which doesn't surprise me because even the seventh grade boys last year traveling a great distance dominated the gymnasium last year at the boys state tournament. So we knew there was going to be a terrific crowd for Gillespie.
And Keaton, what was it like at that pep assembly yesterday?
It felt good that we got there because, I mean, we lost. Even though we lost, we got second. So at least we got something. And second's pretty good. So
yeah, second's pretty good. That works. That works.
There's a lot of other teams that would gladly trade places with you, trust me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Keaton, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who's up next?
Hi, I'm Shelby Taylor.
Shelby, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to see that you're able to move both of your arms today.
Yeah.
How's your shoulder feel?
Good.
Good. It looked like you fell on it kind of awkward there. What was going through your mind whenever you were down on the floor?
I'm like, oh my God.
You were in a lot of pain.
Yes.
What was it like to play in that championship game?
It felt good because that never comes up every single day of your life.
And you had put probably so much time and effort in to get to that point.
Yes.
How many summer games, and not that you need an exact number, but just kind of in general, all the time that you've put in, kind of talk about the blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, that you put into this Gillespie program. Like, you put a lot in. Like, you're staying, like, probably working on your own, not even outside of the normal practice. You're probably still playing basketball.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations, Shelby.
Thank you.
Who's up next?
I'm Sydney Byers.
Sydney Byers, congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel to know that you've got a state runner-up medal? They never take that away from you, you know.
Yeah. It feels gratifying because we put so much work in. Yeah, and I'm just so proud of everybody and thankful for all the fans because they were there for us, supporting us.
And you probably, maybe you guys do realize this now, but as the years pass, you know, it's the memories that you guys had in the locker room, on the buses. That's the type of stuff that you're really going to remember. So I imagine, Sydney, you just got an amazing amount of good times and memories.
Yeah, we have so much fun. We know each other from years ago, and we just have so much fun together.
Okay, now this is for all of you. You don't have to answer it now, but one of you needs to think of a really funny story that involves one of your trips. Grace. I'm guessing, Terry, they've Grace. Already come up with one.
Oh, geez, that didn't take long.
That did not take long.
Oh, my God.
That did not take long. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Well, it's got to be radio safe, ladies. Radio safe.
You guys are not explaining that.
Ooh, we've got the Gillespie Indians in our studio this morning on WSMI Sports Saturday as they were state runner-ups on Thursday night at Auburn High School. Sydney, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who's up next? We've got a couple more people. I know you haven't all gone yet.
Hi, I'm Grace Benalino.
Grace Bertolino, congratulations.
Thank you.
What did it feel like to play in that type of atmosphere on Thursday?
It felt amazing.
How much fun do you have playing basketball?
Really fun. The teammates makes it a lot funner.
It does, doesn't it? What is it about Coach Blevins and Coach Gray that make them so much fun to play with?
They make it fun because they're great coaches, and we know they're always there, and yeah.
They make sure you have a fun time when you're playing basketball?
Yeah.
Nice. Anybody you want to say hi to?
My mom and dad.
There you go. Grace, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who's next?
I'm Michaela.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh.
Breathe, Michaela.
Deep breaths. Cleansing breaths. I don't know if she's going to make it. Shelby's coming to the rescue, I think. But no, she just wants to hear the train wreck.
Do we need to break out the oxygen tank, Tim?
I think we're okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm Michaela Hayes.
Hi, Michaela. Good to see you. How much fun have you had since the game got over on Thursday?
A lot of fun.
What was that bus ride like on the way home from the game?
It was really fun.
Made a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty quiet. I think they all fell asleep.
Expended a lot of energy, I imagine.
Yeah.
What was the feeling like, Michaela, whenever you were standing in line waiting to get that championship medal?
It was awesome. I was excited, but I was also nervous at the very beginning of the game, and I was just proud of all my teammates and all my coaches who have helped me.
And it was a really neat experience there to see all the Gillespie people there. That had to be really neat for you.
Yes, it was.
Michaela, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wasn't so bad, was it?
No.
No. Not at all. We need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. We're so happy to have the Gillespie Indians in our studio here for WSMI Sports Saturday. We're back with more following these messages.
Well, slight chance of rain today, high 68, then rain likely tonight, low 60. Couple reminders, residents in Harville who live on Cedar Street and John Street, you're under a boil order till further notice. And our friends at the Litchfield Rotary Club, they remind you that you can pick up your citrus until noon today at Victory Lane Ford in Litchfield. Now back to WSMI's Tim Mize and a room full of Gillespie Indians.
You got a room full of Indians. That's right, Tito. Thank you so much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini basketball at noon today. They will host Illinois. Chicago will have it at 12 o'clock here on WSMI FM 106. So I believe the ladies have collaborated. They have come up with a very good story here. Now we get to hear it. So I think, Hannah, you going to tell the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So one day, two basketballs got stuck in the net together, and Shelby grabs a basketball to throw at the net.
That seems like a good idea.
Yeah, but not really. What happened was she threw it at the net and missed by like a foot and almost hit our coaches in the head.
Uh-oh.
But luckily, Coach Blevin stuck up her hand and like hit the ball, but if she hadn't, they would have got creamed in the face.
Oh man, that wouldn't have been good.
No,
that wouldn't have been good. Thing coach was paying attention.
Good thing she had to run suicides.
They did get paid. They did get paid back for it.
I bet they did.
So I got pied in the face a couple days at school by some of the girls,
by
and so they all had to run suicides because of it. But you know, we had fun.
I didn't have to.
If the coach is gonna make you run suicides, that's a pretty good reason to have to do it. That's called getting your money's worth right there.
Yeah.
So you guys definitely, just outside of basketball, you guys just really are friends, like each other, and have a good time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. All right. I forgot whenever I was talking to you guys individually, I didn't give you all an opportunity to say hi to someone.
Oh.
So let's go.
Cool. I want to say hi to my parents and my brother. They're at home right now, and I think my brother's at basketball practice. I don't know.
All right, who's next?
All right,
show me. Oh, no.
You don't have to put them on.
You don't need the headphones now. You can just go ahead.
I would like to say hi to my parents, and thank you for taking me places. And a big thank you to Bill Hayes for coming out and cheering for us and big support.
Okay, awesome. Who's next?
Me.
Go ahead.
I'd like to just say hi to my grandma, my grandpa, and my mom and my brother that are listening right now.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye. Drop the mic, I'm out.
Drop the mic.
Oh, Cindy, are you going?
Sydney, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to say hi to my mom and dad, and I want to say thank you, Allie, who's my sister, for being there for me all the time and helping me practice and just being there for me.
Now, did you ever try to wear that hat during practice?
No.
That's an awesome hat.
Oh, she did wear it to the last game.
Yes,
though.
Oh, I wore the game.
It's not a good luck hat, though. It's just a cool
hat.
It is a good luck hat.
Her sister has one.
Okay, there we go.
I'd like to say hi to my parents and all my grandparents, and a shout-out to Bill Hayes.
All right, Bill Hayes. Now, what has Bill Hayes done? He's getting two shout-outs here. What did he do for you guys?
It's my grandpa.
There we go. Good deal.
Big Bucks Bill.
Big Bucks Bill.
Oh, and to Mr. Joyce.
There we go. You better thank Mr. Joyce. That's right. All right, there we go. A drop the mic situation. Christina.
She's already said something.
Yeah, Grace, yeah, that's right. Christina, I'm sure you have a lot of people that you need to thank as well.
There's definitely a lot of people. You know, first and foremost, all their parents for just, you know, making sure not only this year, but for the last how many years, all the hours they've spent in the gym. And, you know, and that was one thing I made the girls yesterday. I made them thank their parents during the assembly because, you know, this group of parents has spent a lot of time in the gym with these girls. You know, our community, surrounding communities, I was just completely blown away by the number of people from other communities that were at the game Thursday night. Not just Thursday night, but, you know, throughout the entire postseason. I know we had people from Carlinville and Staunton and Litchfield and just all over the place. And that was just awesome to see them come out and support. You know, our student body, our fan section was unbelievable. And, you know, when I looked across the gym and we had middle school kids and high school kids, you know, all combined together cheering. And in fact, we had some high school kids that I think were kind of leading our middle school kids in the cheers. And, you know, that was kind of fun. And I think it's just neat to see, you know, that camaraderie in the community and, you know, and obviously our administration and staff for, you know, making sure that we had everything we needed. And, I said it yesterday, they treated us like champions. And, you know, my husband, who, while I'm doing middle school and high school, is at home taking care of my 2-year-old. That's a big job to do while mom's away frequently, you know, sometimes every night of the week. So, and to Kevin, for all the work he's done with these girls and just with the Gillespie program in general. It's unbelievable.
And Kevin, how satisfying is it for you? I mean, you've put in, I don't even know, you couldn't even keep track of the number of hours that you've put in over the years. But when you see a payoff like you did on Thursday night, what goes through your mind?
The immediate is overwhelming. But when you think about all the time, over all the years, it's almost like the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you always like to bring home the championship trophy, but the ride, all these years, I've always tried to stay level, not too many highs, not too many lows, but you just can't help from experience a lot of highs from what happened this year. I've got a lot of people that, you know, I'm thinking about that have supported me. You know, the immediate support structure, you know, I got to thank the administration for allowing me the opportunity to run the program like the way that I think, you know, to develop it and grow it. Then my parents, who've always been supportive of me all through my life. My wife, and the amount of time she's allowed me to enjoy this passion of mine. A lot of times a coach's wife gets overlooked. How much time, you know, that I've taken away from, you know, my family, and of course my kids, Molly and Ellen, the twins, my son Dane, they were all at the games, and they were very supportive. The families of all the girls, all through the years, and boys, and you know, it's you know, there's so many people to be thankful for. I want to say, you know, one of my best friends, very supportive, at one time was a part of this program, Andy Easton Jr. You know, my prayers still go out to him. he is still part of this program in a way. He's my ears. I also listen to him a lot. A lot of girls, you know, who hadn't been in touch with Andy, know how much he enjoys basketball and watching both boys and girls excel. It's very touching that he still is a part of it. It's been a great ride, and hopefully the ride will continue.
Hey, boys and girls, it's a good time to be involved with Gillespie basketball.
Yes, it is.
High school, junior high, it does not matter.
Yes, it is. Everything cycles. Yep. You know, Gillespie boys and girls have had their down cycles. It looks like right now we're in the midst of an up cycle, and you got to enjoy the ride while it lasts.
That's right. Christina Blevins, Kevin Gray, thank you so much for coming in. Ladies, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Best of luck next year.
Thank you.
All right, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll be back after these messages.
The WSMI's Tim Mize, Timbo.
Great group of young ladies right there, Tito.
Terrific group. Terrific group. And you know, we've known Kevin and Christina for a long time, and they do just a terrific job, and we really appreciate the time and effort they put in. So this is not easy. If you think this is easy to do, you're crazy.
Yes, right.
I'm telling you right
That's
now.
Right.
Because you can work your butt off and be a strictly mediocre program. But these guys have really worked their butts off and put the time in and have, you know, excelled. And like Kevin mentioned, every school has cycles. Every group has cycles. So they're reaping the benefits of talented young people. And you know, you got to have the right combination of coaching, talent, and a little bit of luck from time to time.
Absolutely. And we see it around the area with certain programs that are good year after year. And there's usually a common denominator in that they've got consistency and continuity from the lower levels through high school. You look at a school like Nokomis. Mm-hmm. You know, the players always change, but the system's there. The 1-2-2's there from the lower levels all the way up through high school.
Yeah.
And we've seen it at Greenville over the years, not necessarily with a system for one sport, but from sport to sport where they have a lot of the same coaches on the staff. So there's an expectation, and you know as a player what to expect from the coach when you go from sport to sport. Here with Gillespie, with Christina and Kevin both being involved from the lower levels all the way up, by the time this group of girls are freshmen in high school, they know exactly what Kevin Gray and Christina Blevins want.
Sure. They know as soon as they walk out on the floor what they should be doing. And, you know, Tim, I think Kevin, maybe you mentioned this earlier, it's about, a lot of it has to do with numbers. You know, in the smaller schools, a lot of times you just don't have the numbers. They've got the numbers now, and it's about reselling the program. You know, success resells the program and makes the next group want to be just as successful.
Well, they were just telling us, Kevin and Christina, coming up on Saturday when they play Pena, they're going to be honoring the 95 Gillespie Miners, of course, in their state finish.
In their state finish, yes.
And you think, I remember those Gillespie teams vividly because I was of the right age where those girls were going to the Coach Lafka basketball camp at Bunker Hill when I was in junior high. And the way that it worked then, they were in our class. So, you know, played against those girls all the time. So I just vividly remember that team and Christine Polo, Jody Ottersberg, Randy Anderson, how good they were. And you talk about the expectation after those girls were gone, you expected Gillespie to be at that type of level.
Well, you know, those the teams from that era used to have some absolutely slugfest competition with Southwestern and Nokomis and teams around the area. So, you know, that was a great era for Gillespie basketball.
And we can't forget about Southwestern, talking about continuity, what Steve Woolley's done with that program over the years. But to think about that Gillespie team, 1995, that's getting to be a while ago now, hard to believe.
Yeah, well, time flies when you're having fun.
That it
does. But it's great, and what's really nice is that they're actually putting together a remembrance and honoring teams from the past. And I think that just adds to the reselling of the program, Tim. You know, by honoring those that have had success in the past, whether you want to admit it or not, that is where a lot of this success started, you know, 20 years ago, because there was an expectation of success.
And it doesn't take long for it to get out of people's minds.
Right.
You know, short-term memory. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, they did used to be really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They're on their way back.
Right.
Maybe, you know, maybe not quite that good. But, I mean, those teams, that Gillespie team.
That was good.
That was, I mean, that, really, really Tim, good. No matter the era, team, you dropped
that,
them in.
That team was not just a good basketball team. That team was an athletic
That's
team
right.
that could play any sport at an extremely high level. Because I think that team also went to the softball finals.
That's right.
So
that's right.
If memory serves me right.
And then, of course, you know what they were doing in the track and field season.
Oh, gosh.
As well. So, yeah, they were just all the round supreme athletes.
Yeah. Gillespie has always had a reputation of having, especially in the springtime, athletes that double up on baseball, softball, and track. You
that's
know,
a busy
it,
time.
It's amazing time, and they've had some terrific athletes that have been able to do that. So a lot of other schools have too, but Gillespie has had their fair share of them,
that's
for
right.
sure.
So congratulations to the Gillespie Indians on their state runner-up finish in the 7th grade 3A basketball playoffs. And Terry, we talked about it a little bit when you were coming home from the ball game. Yeah. That team they played, to use just a ridiculous, they were stupid good.
They were. They certainly didn't play like a 7th grade team.
No.
And I'm telling you, Gillespie played well.
They did.
The Indians played pretty doggone well. Now, fourth quarter, they kind of ran out of gas, I think, and were shut out for the quarter as far as scoring was concerned. But they had good looks. They had some shots that just rimmed out. But they played pretty well, I thought. But, boy, you just stupid good was the St. Agnes team from Springfield. And, wow, you talk about shooters. Whew.
And I wasn't using hyperbole when I said that point guard is ready for varsity.
Oh.
That girl could drop – you could drop her in on varsity roster right now.
Sophia Lois.
Yeah, remember the name.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was terrific.
And they broke the three-point – the single-game three-point record.
Yeah.
Made 8 threes in that game. The record was 6.
6, so, yeah. Unbelievable. They were a fun team to watch.
They were
extremely talented. And you could tell they'd played together for a long time. You know, they were very comfortable with their scheme. So,
but we talked about during the broadcast, never ever is a Gillespie team afraid.
Oh, no.
They don't scare.
I was going to bring that up, and I had a phone call while Kevin was talking, and that's one thing about Gillespie. And, you know, you can say the same thing about Southwestern, Nokomis, all the programs that have been good over the years. Hillsboro, I think, is another one. They don't care.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't care who
Where's
we're playing.
The game?
Where's the game? We're ready to go. We don't care how big you are, how much of a reputation you have. We don't care. We're ready to play. And, God, you got to love that.
And, you know, that's a mentality that has to be fostered over years. You know, you can't just – the coach can have it.
Sure.
But for you to have it ingrained in the players, that takes time.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because, you know, that's just a learned response.
Yeah. I mean, the coach could say, we're not going to be afraid.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So how do you convince the kids
right.
of that?
How do you do it?
Yeah. How do you do that? Well, you have intense practices, and the reward for the intense practices is playing basketball during a game.
Yeah. So. I always laugh whenever we're interviewing. It doesn't matter who the coach is, what school they're from, coaching boys or girls.
Yeah.
When they've got their team around, coaches are always talking about, we play too many, you got too many games, we need more practices. And the reaction of the players is always the same, like, no, I don't think so. I like the ratio.
I'm glad they pointed that out. I'm glad they pointed that out because, you know, a lot of times I think some of the traveling teams play so many games anymore that you really don't work on some of the fundamentals. And in spite of the fact that you play a lot of games and you learn a lot of different things, sometimes you ingrain those bad habits as opposed to getting those habits corrected and doing the fundamentals better. So
beating a team by 60 don't make you better.
Doesn't make you better at all. You know, losing to a great team by 5 or 10 points, you learn a heck of a lot more than you do by winning by 60.
We've seen it with, just to think back to some of the recent state champions, the Hillsboro girls, which is coming up. That's been 10 years ago now?
2006.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
That'll be
10 years.
10 years this year.
Yeah.
But they were not undefeated.
No.
When they won state. And had they been undefeated, they probably wouldn't have won state.
Yeah. You know, Nokomis girls were never undefeated. They'd lost 2 games both years when they won state tournaments. So.
And if you go down the history of Illinois high school state championship basketball, which is as good of a history you're going to find in the entire country, you will not see too many undefeated state champions, especially not recently.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen.
No.
Because so many different teams can knock you off on a given night. You know, you know, you got to have good players, good coaches, and you got to have lady luck on your side sometimes. And sometimes one of the three, you know, especially the luck thing. You know, you look at Gillespie the other night on Thursday night. How many shots did we see, especially in that first half, Tim, that were three quarters of the way down in the rim and came back out?
A handful of them.
It's just one of those nights.
Can't do anything about it.
So WSMI Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize as the Cardinals are heading north, it looks like.
Thank you, T-Tote. Yeah, it looks that way. First, John Lackey, now Jason Hayward. And if the reports are true, which they generally are when they come from Ken Rosenthal, took less money to go up to the north side of Chicago. Cardinals evidently offered $200 million to try to keep Jason Hayward. He took the two opt-out clauses in $184 to go play for the Cubs. And don't know the details, Steve, but my guess is the Cardinals were unwilling to give opt-outs. And maybe they were willing to give one, certainly not two. If you're going to offer $200 million to a guy, I'm not wanting to give him opt-outs. Like, I'm committing to you, you're going to commit to me.
Yeah, and you know, a 10-year contract is what was rumored to have been on the table. That's job security there.
It is.
So,
We'll see. I mean, he's betting on his talent. He can be a free agent after his age 29 season, and he'll get more money again.
And you know, you can understand why he did, but it's just interesting how the Cubs have had the eyes on John Lackey and Jason Hayward and made it happen.
Very Red Sox Yankees-esque. And to me, the Cardinals and Mozeliak need to recalibrate here. This is no longer the cute little fun-loving National League Central Chicago Cubs. Theo Epstein's bringing that East Coast jugular slashing type of mentality. He's looking to raid you, crush you, and beat you down into the ground. That's what he wants to do. And if the Cardinals aren't careful, he's going to be too far ahead in his blitzkrieg before they can get an answer here.
Well, if we can't beat you, we're going to get you. Yeah. You're going to be on our team.
Now, the thing the Cardinals do get is the Cubs' two draft picks, and we've seen how that's worked out. They draft very well. So if those two picks hit 3 to 4 years from now, maybe it's not quite so bad.
And the thing about John Mozeliak, let's give him credit here, Tim. He seems to be able to pull a rabbit out of a hat almost every year. The Cardinals, you know, right now, if you're looking at the division, you've got to say the Cubs have got to be the overwhelming favorite, which oftentimes works against a team.
I think they're the odds-on favorite to win the World Series. Forget the division.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to really seriously think that the Cubs have loaded their arsenal and are ready to compete for that World Series, which they were pretty darn close last year. And then you've got to look at the Pirates. I think the Pirates have certainly been solidified as well. And the Cardinals probably third at this point. So
Pirates traded Neil Walker, which I was surprised by.
Being a local kid, you know, and being so versatile and really being able to put the ball in play a lot. But, you know, they needed some pitching. So,
and see, to me, for the Cardinals, this all goes back from a pure baseball perspective to the death of Oscar Tavares. I talked about it at the time that I said it was going to be the Lynn bias effect that the Celtics had back in the 80s. This is what happens. Look what happened. They traded Shelby Miller for 1 year of Jason Hayward. That's all they got back. Jordan Walton's going to be nothing. His arm's going to fall off.
Yeah.
But look what the Braves got for Shelby Miller when they traded him to the Diamondbacks. That's what the Cardinals should have gotten if they were going to move a guy like Shelby Miller. And Mo we trust because he always does the right thing. But that was a panic move.
Sure.
You know, that's what happens when you make a panic move. You don't think things through, and you wind up getting the short end, and that's what happened.
And speaking of the Diamondbacks, with Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller,
to me, they're the favorites.
Pitching rotation?
Yeah, favorites in the NL West right now, are they not?
Oh, I think the overwhelming favorites.
And they were only four games under last year, had one of the best offenses in the league. Now you've got as good a 1-2 punch as you're going to find in baseball.
Well, didn't they have the best defense in the league?
I don't know about that.
Amongst the best defenses in the league. And
pitching was their weakness.
Yeah, pitching was their weakness. I think they were number two in offense overall. So the Diamondbacks, I think, are a team that definitely should make some. And the thing about it is, of course, when you have all these expectations, and Cardinal fans know about this because there have been years that the Cardinals have been overwhelming favorites, and they don't perform as overwhelming as people think they
should.
Sometimes
the Cardinals do better as the underdog.
I think the Cardinals always do better as an underdog.
They like to play that disrespect card. They've been trying to play it the last few years, and it just didn't fly.
Right.
They can play it now.
Yeah.
Now they can play it. And if you're the Cubs, there's no question. I mean, they're the 27 Yankees.
They
are loaded to bear. Yeah. They've got the greatest manager in the history of the world.
Well, according to some.
Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
But to me, everything is different when you're the front runner.
Yeah.
It's like last year, the Cubs with this all shucks story. We're a year away. When you've got the lineup they have, and you've made the moves they've made, to me, the petting zoos and the magicians, that's not going to work anymore.
You know,
you've got to go out and they should win 110 games.
Baseball is such a funky sport because things that you wouldn't think happen.
Yeah.
Because
baseball happened.
Baseball happens because what happens with the Cubs this past year, a lot of them had career years.
No injuries.
No major injuries, you know. Now all of a sudden you've got people in place that should be in place for a while. And a lot of times the baseball gods are unkind to you. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it just seems like baseball stuff happens like that.
And so, let's be honest. The Cardinals were gassed.
Oh, they were.
In the postseason. Was a JV AAA squad that they rolled out for the postseason series. Yeah. They had nothing left in the tank. You could tell middle of September,
they were
done. It didn't matter who they played in the first round of the playoffs. They were going to lose.
They were just hanging on.
They were just hanging on by a thread. Look, so the Cubs won that series. Hats off to them.
Yeah.
Then look what happened to them.
Yeah.
A no-show against the team. We always talk about good pitching
means
good hitting. The Cardinals didn't have good pitching in the playoffs.
No.
The Mets did, and the Cubs didn't lead for a single inning.
Yeah.
So you've got all these young guys. Sophomore slumps happen. That's a routine thing. They've got a lot of these young kids. How are they going to respond? What happens if Chris Bryant gets off to a slow start? What if Jason Hayward gets off to a slow start?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've
got... Jason Hayward traditionally gets off to a slow start.
I mean, there's so much pressure on the Cubs now that there's no excuses. And it's not, to me, what they've done. Forget about winning one World Series.
Yeah.
They should win three of the next five.
Well, they should
with
be. The,
with what they're doing.
Sure, sure. With, you know, if they stay healthy and most of their players perform not necessarily career years, but certainly within the realm of being close to a career year, they should be a dominant team for the next handful of years.
Should
definitely.
Be. But John Lackey's 37.
Yeah.
Ben Zobrist, 35.
Yeah.
Arrieta's coming off of a career year in terms of numbers. Blew past his career innings pitched total.
Which
John Lester's not younger.
You know, and in those innings pitched this past year from Arrieta, how will that affect him this year?
Exactly. I mean, there's no doubt that you look at the Cubs on paper, it's like, oh, my God, like that. They're loaded. I mean, on paper, they've got as good a team as you could hope to have.
Yeah.
But you got to play the games.
Yeah.
You got to play the games. And if they get off to a slow start, I mean, think about what the city of Chicago is going to be like next year. They might as well just raise the championship banner now, if you're a Cub fan.
Well, I don't know that they want to quite do that yet, because that would tend to make
Mike curse them?
Superstitious people would be very upset about that, I think. So
it's true.
They're certainly sitting in a position where just from even the most casual baseball fans would have to look in and say, yeah, they're going to be pretty dang good.
Yeah, even the most pessimistic Cubs fan has to look at this and be like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if not now, when?
Yeah.
Like if this roster can't get it done, then I don't know what you do if you're the Cubs.
Well,
where do you go if this doesn't get it done?
I don't know, but you have to certainly take your hat off to Theo Epstein.
Absolutely.
Because this guy has come in. And there, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, the Cubs were kind of languishing around and were going, gosh, this Epstein thing, experiment hasn't really panned out. Well, it did. He had the idea. He knew where he was going. And now it looks like the pieces are in place. So.
And if he breaks the curse in Boston and does it in Chicago, just put him in the Hall of Fame now.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't need to wait 5 years. Yeah, just put him in now.
Well, and seriously, they could put him in next year.
They should.
If the Cubs win in 2016 and 2017, he should be enshrined in the Hall
Absolutely.
Of Fame.
Absolutely.
Because if you're an architect of bringing two teams that have been, absent not only from a lot of the playoffs, but absent from the World Series competition, period. Certainly you deserve a place in the Hall of Fame.
And he would have done it in just a little over a decade.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see what, 2004.
2004 is when the Red Sox snapped theirs.
Yeah.
So if he does it in 16 in a 12-year span, he will have snapped both curses.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing.
So the friendly rivalry is gone, to me. Cards Cubs
well,
is no longer
yeah,
friendly. There's nothing friendly about it now. They've rated your players.
Yeah.
The Cubs fans are going to be obnoxious because they beat you in the playoffs. Cardinals fans, I'm a Cardinal fan. They're always obnoxious. That's just a fact. Cardinal fans are obnoxious.
Although Cardinal fans, the last year or two, have been, to me, very quiet in their home ballpark for the most part. They get down and they don't make a whole lot of noise. They sit on
Cardinals fans are spoiled.
Yes, they are. We are.
You know, like the... I'm tired of the best fans in baseball shtick, the baseball in heaven garbage. Get over it.
You know,
Get over it. A St. Louis publication voted 20 years ago that St. Louis had the best baseball fans. Okay. Everyone knows St. Louis has the best baseball fans. It's a baseball town. So what?
The thing about the Cardinals is they bragged about having all this money.
Didn't spend it, though.
And then they weren't able to spend it.
That was my – and I was ready to light him up today for that. But when they offered Hayward $200 million and he just didn't take it, that's one thing. But you're right. Their business model, they have their model.
Yeah.
It works. So why go out and tout how much money you have and then spend none? Because you tell everybody how much money you have.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Now the players know how much money you have.
Yeah.
And now you're lowballing them, so to speak.
Well, not only the players, Tim, but the agents know how much money you have. And that's the important key to the thing here, because the agents are the ones that negotiate all this stuff. So,
like, looking back on it, if they could have gotten Price, boy, that would have been –
would have changed the whole outlook of the division.
Yes, it's not my money, but I wish they would have matched Boston's offer.
Yeah.
But, and it's a ton of money for a starting pitcher. It's a ridiculous, it's a gross amount of money. But it's not my money.
No.
So spend it.
But you just knew it wasn't going to happen.
Right. And it didn't. And, hey, until it blows up in their face, why would they change their model?
That's true. That's
they win 90 games every year. They're in the playoffs every year. You talked about, every team in the state except St. Agnes would want to change places with Gillespie.
Sure.
There's just 2 to 3 clubs that wouldn't gladly take what the Cardinals have done and what they will do moving forward.
Absolutely.
So, T, great to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be back. I look forward to coming in on Wednesday and being back on the air full time. And it's been a long road, but it's a road that's leading back to where I want to be. So,
hey, as the great Yogi Berra said, you see a fork in the road, take it.
Take it. That's right.
For T-Tote, I'm Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Fighting Illini basketball, high noon today against Illinois Chicago on FM 106.